Dr. Brastax, good afternoon. We're going until 1:30 p.m. It's now 1:09. Good afternoon.
Blessed be, sister.
Good afternoon. Blessed be, brother.
Yeah, I tried to get into you last week, and Mr. Johnson did afford me access. That time, as always, being my Satan was against me. I am calling. My first comments are not the my substantive contribution today, but I felt obliged to comment on something I saw in The Nation, written by Eric Smith, the editor-in-chief of The Nation newspaper. And he was calling for the Commonwealth Scholars Association to find somewhere to honor the contributions of both Timmy Callender and Mr. Harry Seeley. Even as I speak Mr. Seeley's name, I feel compelled to do so with a sense of silent reverence. The influence that Mr. Seeley would have had on Commonwealth of my vintage would have been immense. Okay. And our current lexicon probably could not gather all that to express that. Okay. So I really hope that the Old Scholars Association find some way that they can do that. With regard to Timmy Callender, even as I speak now, my memory affords me recall of more than one circumstance in which he was really the consummate artist. But there are aspects of his being that people would not normally be familiar with unless they were pretty close to him. I am now going to cite one of those circumstances that being very close to him afforded me. He was very able to control his body temperatures. And on more than one occasion, I saw him go into a breathing exercise and would sweat profusely. And moreover, if you would put your hand only a quarter inch or so from the surface of his skin, one could actually feel the heat being generated from his body because of this exercise. And in only 5 or so minutes after, he could make his body so cold that one can witness cold bumps come upon his skin. So he really was the consummate artist. And his written work was always guided by three principles that even now, even during my days of NIFCA, I always tried to hold fast to those principles of writing. And he referred to them as the three eternal principles, the three E's. And that was enlightenment, entertainment, and education. And all serious writing should do that. It should reflect those three principles. Now, that is not the... So I would like to add my voice to that of Eric Smith and the Commonwealth Scholars of my era, who would have passed through the hands of and sat at the feet of Mr. Harry Seeley, and who would have benefited from the diverse artistic talents that were housed in the one being that we knew as Timmy Callender. And now to the substantive part of my contribution today, and as always, I'm cognizant of time. You know, Lisa, I am really, sometimes I'm amused, sometimes I'm taken aback, and sometimes I'm struck with an overwhelming sense of pity. Then I hear some of these Sunday preachers speaking about God and about angels and about Lucifer. And I find that oftentimes it is easy to tell they don't know a lot about this entity they call God, because it wasn't until Abraham that the word God assumed the to become a proper name. It didn't have that before. It always was a common noun, and that is the reason why Moses felt he had some.
I was really longing for you to call me and engage me on other matters other than some of these that we have discussed in the past. Quite frankly,
considering
your Khmer, what we call there's a good word there. It dropped out of my thoughts. Your Khmer, I don't know if you did that to me, but I've lost the word. But your affiliations, with Waterford University, let me just put it that way. And I would like to engage you on other topics. I'm not necessarily excited about talking about extraterrestrial beings and spirituality on a consistent basis, knowing that you have so much that resides in that brain of yours. So engage me for 2 minutes on something else.
You speak about me with a sense of authority that astounds me, since I don't remember us ever meeting. And me, I have been my gross misfortune.
Yes, but we don't have had to have met, you know, to for me to come to those conclusions.
But tell me, what topic is that you have?
Fine one. Lots going on in this country right now. Talk about some topical issues.
You mean like
front page, back page, something, anything, anything, anything.
I think, but you have a whole swath of persons that call and talk about your local politics.
We're not talking politics. I just said to you many things.
The only way you will let me come and make some political comment is just somebody.
No, I didn't say politics. What do you think of this high? I heard the Prime Minister talk just about us being able to feed ourselves. But I think what the region needs to do is stop charging so much money for air travel so that we can get around and start to really make this CSME a useful place, don't you think?
Well, it is a topic I was prepared to discuss, but I am quite capable of doing so. And I have made comments on this program before with regards to the cost of air travel. And it is mindful to note that the majority of the cost in an airline ticket is government tax. Not only in Barbados, but across the region, government taxes. And I think that that's a disincentive to Caribbean people traveling and making
business and everything. It's a big disincentive. I agree with you.
So that the mere fact that you said that immediately prompts me to query, why haven't the leaders of the Caribbean thought so far about a ferry system, since we are all just rocks in the same or in the same sea? Mm. Why haven't they thought about me? It is the first gift that the Canadians gave to the Caribbean when we had the federal institution. Mm-hmm. They gave us the federal maple and the federal palm because they had the vision to see and the simple logic that if you can give the Caribbean a gift, give them something that they can move around the Caribbean with. And I mean, I don't understand why we don't have a ferry system. My memory now affords me the memory that to recall that there was a ship coming in the Shadow Draft named the SV. It was a ship used to travel up among the Caribbean islands and used to bring the produce here from other islands. And the people were coming with the oranges and grapes and what have you.
You sure it isn't still there?
So
there's one I see.
I'm not sure that still exists.
It still exists. I did a tour of the port just 2 weeks ago, and it's a gray ship. It's the one that brings the produce.
It was MV Windward or something
like that. It's the one that brings the produce, and yes, it still does.
Yes, but I thought that was a really ideal way to keep Caribbean people in contact with each other, and they eating wholesome foods, because the foods that we were getting coming on those ships wasn't sprayed with any Monsanto chemicals. Mm. They weren't genetically modified. And I think that if we want to be serious about feeding ourselves, and the reason why this topic, I got so passionate about this, is because when you have children and grandchildren, you cannot help but think about the future.
Yes.
You know, and I'm really concerned that we aren't doing that. There's probably just yes, let me go. I'm glad to see the Prime Minister take up the mantle that I thought was dropped by the former Prime Minister Oinafa. And there's another matter to that. He used
you
to...
You mean the former Prime Minister Oinafa or the former Prime Minister?
Prime Minister Oinafa.
Okay. I didn't think that he dropped it. I worked very closely in that season, and he was instrumental in continuing to advance the CSA.
It was probably a bad choice of rubbish. It's very rare from me. But what I meant was that I have not seen it take a position of prominence since he left political office.
Oh, and you mean post his prime ministerial portfolio?
But the CSME is a lifeline for ordinary Caribbean people.
Yes.
I don't understand why it don't take rocket scientists.
It doesn't.
You know what I mean? I don't understand why the politicians, because the musicians live pretty good together.
They
when
do.
When we go to different carnivals in the Caribbean people interact and intermingle very readily.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised when I went to Carifesta in Cuba that Cubans, I can feel so at one with people who had a language different to myself.
Yes.
I mean, the warmth, you can feel the warmth from those Cuban people, which prompts me now to say, I also had my sympathy and will never forget, you know, the injustice that was done to the Cuban people with that aircraft that was brought down, and that the criminals who have been identified are still at large, sponsored largely and maintained and supported by the United States of America.
Wow.
So, getting back to this CSME thing, I mean, we can't linger on this. We can't wait for somebody from the European Union or somebody to say, well, listen, we really ain't got a time for the Caribbean people now, and we really ain't got the funds to give them now, but they ain't got to go back to to win our own. I mean, why we always got to be chased back? Why is that? Even right now, it's in Kitts and Nevis. The Prime Minister there is saying, oh,
we don't need the CCJ.
CCJ. I mean,
yep.
And then you look in the same paper that these statements are made, and you see these people receiving an honor for being a graduate of the University of the West Indies.
Amazing.
You know, I mean,
actually, I was very impressed last night. I was listening to the former Prime Minister of St. Lucia, Mr. Kenny Anthony, and he was talking about. I was more, you know, just I get fascinated with speech and conversation and different things. So he was making the point about this small region and what has come out of the university itself, etc., referring the archipelago. And the way in which he said it, I smiled, you know, and I was enjoying his discourse, though. I really was, because he was really sharing a good piece.
Sometimes I think that since the passing of Comrade Morris Bishop, mm-hmm. that the idea, the real idea and the
substance of regional integration,
it seems only it resides now with Comrade Ralph Gonzalez.
No. I can't share your view there.
That is so. It is tragic because I don't hear it from any of the other Caribbean prime ministers.
Mm. We don't get to hear enough of the regional news, maybe. But to come to that conclusion with the little that you hear, I wouldn't get to that conclusion if it was me.
What conclusion would you draw?
I believe that they want to, but I don't think that they put. So, for example, I was listening to this. I don't know if you know Dr. Aline, who had a pretty bad accident 1 year ago, broke her neck and had some significant gashes on her body, but she's now in full recovered. All praise to Almighty God. And she was making the point that if you want to run faster, you run faster. You hear me?
You know, we,
if you want to run faster, you just run faster. And if the regional leaders want further integration, you know what they need to do? Integrate. What it means, changing some of the existing policies that put so many restrictions on us now. Regional travel is one of them. That's what I mean. They have to do and not just talk.
But listen, how old Black Star in Calypso is talking about one Caribbean unity. I mean, we've heard it from the Calypsonians. We've heard it from some of the politicians. We've heard it from the university, graduate academia. I mean, what does it take to implement this concept, this thing that Dr. Rav Gonzalez called the Caribbean?
It takes boldness, it takes willingness, and it takes people who want to see their people advance. And when I say their people, I don't just mean a set of Barbadians or a set of Guyanese. I mean our people, the people in the region, our Caribbean people. And I don't think that half of them have the foresight and the willingness to do it. So it lacks political will. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it will be a sad situation if people like Professor Hilary Beckles and the same Comrade Ralph Gonzalez should go to the beyond, should cross the River Styx, should cross the Rubicon, and then on their grace, only we will have a statement, I tried to unite my people, but they never saw. You know what I mean? you really asked me to discuss a topic that grieves me, you know. That
and I'm going to end my call, and I'm going to end my call with you and go on to our next caller.
An interruption. I heard the
for 10 seconds.
Someone that spoke before me, the Economist. I heard him say that you do some good work, is making hats or something like that.
No, he was talking about some services that I offer in my consulting practice.
Oh, I thought that you were endowed with some creative talent of which I was unaware.
Oh, so offering services is not creative?
Oh, I agree that it is. then he spoke when he mentioned hats.
We were wearing hats, wearing various hats.
Now that I have you on the line.
No, I am going to have to thank you for your call and engage you next week if you do care calling.
You know I will call.
Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Thanks for holding.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Yes. You're on the air.
Pleasant afternoon to you.
Yes, to you too.
My name is Astor DeWalt, and I want to congratulate Starcom for having the opportunity to bring to the fore the Astor DeWalt lunchtime lecture resuming tomorrow and having the President Vladimir.
So you're paying for this ad, are you? Or are you you're seeking
I
intervention?
I am thanking Starcom for having brought it to the fore.
Yes, they did yesterday.
Yesterday.
I did. I heard it.
And I'm just reminding you that it is the lunchtime lecture at the Astor B. Watts' lunchtime, and it is being proposed by the President Brother De Pisa.
Yes.
And I want to thank Starcom for being a humane thing to the people of Barbados.
Humane, interesting.
Well, that is that is being humane. It's being your brother's keeper.
Okay.
And being taking care of each other.
Okay.
Now, also, I want to ask you to clarify what the position is with the government and those individuals who have the bonds and other things stuck away. And if you don't get the 75% on the dotted line, what would be the result? Can you help me in that respect?
I did ask that. There was someone who asked that question at the breakfast that took place a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And what was clarified is that this is soon going to be a matter of the past, so long as they reach a particular quota. I'm looking at my moderator who was also there. Yes, 75%, I recall, but I'm saying when they, I can't read his mind, so. But yes, I'm going to get some clarity for you, Mr. Astor B. Watts. Anything else?
Yeah, well the other thing that I am worried about,
mm-hmm.
We have economists from Barbados. We have economists from the neighboring islands. We have from USA. And I am at a loss. I'm a layman.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are saying when you get this money, when you get that money, things are going to work out. But
in 4 years, or they say as soon as you get the first drawdown?
Well, I think they said the first drawdown.
No, I don't think you heard correctly, because the whole point of it is to start the restructuring of the economy and restoring the, bring some consolidation to the whole tax structure and a couple other things.
Yeah,
so it isn't one thing.
Yeah, and restoring the tax policy and retooling.
But that actually is more secondary
and
or tertiary.
Reinventing.
Mm-hmm.
What have we got to pay for it? What? Nothing is being said about the pain we have to bear. They are all avoiding that intricate part, and I am wondering, why not come out and say, here is the position? Well, that is the Prime Minister's duty, but since
you're probably not listening, because I did hear some people talk about those things.
And what happened?
And talk about the pain, and talk about that, because of that, there's going to be a unit set up to assist persons. They're also going to be some...
Oh, assist them in what way? And who are the persons who are going to be in that particular way?
I wouldn't be able to answer all of your queries.
But no, Kadir, I have a lot of respect for you, because you are somewhat not crushed with the other points of view. You have your own point of view, and 75% of them are respectful and indignating to benefit the 80% or 70% of the Barbadian public. And I am wondering...
And about the other 25%?
The other 5%, you sometimes don't answer, or you evade it.
Right. None of us is perfect.
Which is human.
Yes.
But what I am wondering, why are we not being told where the pain is in the foot, in the hand, in the head, or where?
When you say where the pain is, you mean if a person loses a job, where they're going to feel the pain?
Exactly.
But with all due respect, Mr. Astor B. Watts, if you lose your job and you don't have finances to cover your bills, you're telling me that you want to be told where the pain will be?
I would like to know if I'm going to lose my job. What
some people don't know the details. Yeah, some people don't know the details at this point. But I'm going to thank you for your contribution with us, being the last caller on Down to Brass Tacks today, the 11th of October, 2018. I'm going to thank all of the other callers. I'm going to thank Mr. Dennis Johnson for being a good producer during this time with me. And I'm going to thank all of the other persons who work behind the scenes here at Starcom to make today successful. And all the listeners, all the WhatsAppers as well. Our WhatsApp has gone down for a little while now, so I wouldn't have been able to read your last set of WhatsApps. It has been my pleasure. We're going to hear Mr. Larry Mears join us in the next iteration. This is Down to Brass Tacks.